This is West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. There will be a new state representative in Michigan's 62nd district next year. John Bison is a physician and former president of the Michigan State Medical Society. He is seeking the Republican nomination for the district, which includes the city of Battle Creek. Thank you very much for being here.
Thank you, Gordon, so much for having me.
We're also joined today by Jennifer Bowman of the Battle Creek Inquirer. Thank you for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
And John Bison, why don't you begin by introducing yourself to our audience and telling us a little bit about your background, why you're running for State House.
Well, I come from Michigan. I have lived all over Michigan. I was born in the city of Detroit and raised in the suburbs of Detroit. I went to undergrad at Michigan State University and subsequently to medical school back at Wayne State University in Detroit. I spent a year of postgraduate medicine before going and joining the Air Force, where I spent the next 11 years. My first assignment was at a little place called K.I. Sawyer in the Upper Peninsula back when there was a military base up there, and subsequently went to San Antonio, Texas, and subsequently overseas to the Philippines. I spent 11 years in the military, becoming a lieutenant colonel, prior to returning to Battle Creek, which, after being half a world away, was back home again for me, and it was great to be back home. As you said, I spent the last year as president of the State Medical Society, and my duties would oftentimes include going to Lansing and to Washington to represent the 16,000 physicians in our society. And oftentimes I would walk into legislative offices and say, "Hi, my name is Dr. John Bison. I'm a otolaryngologist. I'm an ENT doctor, and I represent 16,000 Michigan physicians." And I would have legislators that would very courteously say, "Yes, I will listen." And I would go through whatever the spiel of the day was. We would talk about the issues and the medical society stance on those issues. And towards the end, it would not be uncommon that the legislators would say something along the lines of, "Okay, thank you very much. This is all well and good, but I'm going to check with Roger before getting back with you, and we'll let you know."
Who's and Roger?
Roger is Roger Kahn. He is a cardiologist. He is chair of appropriations in the Senate. And the last legislative session, he was the only physician in the legislature. And it seemed that even as president of the state society, even representing 16,000 Michigan physicians, the answer I got was, "All well and good, but let me check with our own, and then I'll get back with you." And it became perfectly obvious at that time that if one wants to make a difference, if one wants to really promote change, that you may have to do that as an insider rather than an outsider. And especially with Kate Siegel stepping down, it seemed like this might be an appropriate time to make that jump.
All right, then. Jennifer Bowman, let's start with questions for John Bison.
Great. So it's a crowded race, including yourself. There's two Republicans and three Democrats. It's your first time seeking public office. Do you think you have what it takes?
I'm thinking so. You know, I have an excellent organization. I have a very smart campaign manager and deputy campaign manager who are going to be helping me through this. I have consultants out of Lansing who will be helping me as well. And thus far, the medical community has been very, very supportive, as has the Calhoun County community. I have really been amazed and impressed with the number of people who have met me on the street and saying, "Go get them." A number of former patients that I've had that have come out and said, "We're going to be very, very supportive of you, and thank you so much for doing this for us."
Should note, we are recording on May 28th, the day after the minimum wage bill was approved by the House and Senate, signed into law by Governor Snyder. If you had been there as a member of the House, would you have voted for the minimum wage increase which was approved?
Well, I think a lot depends on the details of the bill, and not being there, I am not privy to all the details in the bill. Minimum wage, as I see it, is a two-edged sword. You know, you raise the limit for some of the population, but there are also some bad things that go along with raises in the minimum wage. If you're on a fixed income, typically minimum wage increases suggest that the prices that you pay for goods at the stores are going to be increasing. And also, the jobs that you have for some of the most vulnerable, some of the people who are at that minimum wage, are going to evaporate. They're going to disappear as that wage goes up higher and higher. And I think that it's a balancing act that oftentimes you need to have. On the one side, there are good things. The other side, there are bad things. And I think that in the work as a legislator, you have to balance that.
Jennifer?
Well, I kind of want to stay on the topic of something that Calhoun County, although it's not unique to the area, we suffer from income inequality, and we've been lucky enough to see some job gains over the year, mostly in manufacturing. But do you think that we are on the right track as far as job creation? Are we creating the right kinds of jobs for the right kinds of opportunities for Calhoun County residents, or could we be doing a little more diversifying?
When we talk about jobs, I think that jobs and income inequality oftentimes go hand in hand. And if you ask me, are we preparing our youth for the jobs of the future adequately, I'd have to say I'm not certain that we are. I mean, I take a look at our graduation numbers, even in Calhoun County, for those graduating who are currently in the ninth grade, what is our percentage of those who enter the ninth grade graduating from the 12th grade? And as I understand it, that number is around 76%. And that means that 24% of the students in the ninth grade are not going to be graduating from the 12th grade. And what kind of job opportunities do they have if they are going through? I go and I talk to shop owners, and they say, you know, we need people who are qualified to work in our shop. And that may involve some background in robotics. That may involve technical skills such as wiring or computer skills, running the robots. It may involve body work. It may involve plumbing or electrical works. And, you know, I don't know that we're giving those people the opportunity to leave school and actively enter a job. And I'd consider that a failure. You need to be able to get out there, and we need to train our kids. And not everyone is destined for college. But if we have those that are interested in college, I think that they ought to have opportunities and ought to be well-educated so they don't end up in remedial classes when they try to go to college. And if they aren't going to college, then we ought to have them on a track that gives them the necessary skills to succeed in life.
Well, let's talk about how people get to jobs, i.e. Michigan roads, which almost everyone is in agreement are not in very good shape. What are your thoughts on some sort of a long-term solution to fund road repair, maintenance, et cetera?
I oftentimes think that government is best at the local level rather than as you get further and further up. I think that the more the people are involved in their government, the better that government is. When we talk about road funding, I was impressed and amazed that Jace Bolger, our dear speaker, took a look at the budget and says, yes, I found an extra $450 million. I'd like to throw this at the roads. And I think that in many ways, roads funding has to be a priority. And we need to make that road funding. And I would say that perhaps that road funding ought to flow all the way down to the townships where they know where the greatest needs are. That when you repair a road, I would agree that we need guarantees on the road. We spend millions of dollars patching holes in our roads. And the next season, you have those same potholes in the same places. And if you were to ask me, did we really fix that road? I'd have to scratch my head a little bit and say, maybe not. Back in the 1930s, Germany was making roads that lasted 30, 40, 50, 70 years. And it just astounds me that we can't make roads that last more than a season when the technology is out there. And maybe it includes changes in technology. Maybe we need to use innovative surfaces to cover the road so that they last 10 years longer. Maybe, you know, we need a different system, a more competitive system to get the best price for our roads and make sure that there are guarantees and long-term.
The Calhoun County Board of Commissioners has, you know, they've really applauded Speaker Bolger's proposal that's come out. But they've also said that that's not enough. And there's a whole lot of money we're going to need to fix these roads. And they've discussed a possible countywide road millage. Townships are discussing that. If there isn't that funding that Lansing can allocate, I mean, is that the way that the discussion should go?
I think that I would wait until we saw what the state government was going to do. You know, Speaker Richardville is talking about, I want to say $1.6 billion
per year. Senate Majority Leader.
Senate Richard Majority Leader. Richardville is talking about $1.6 billion on an annual basis, on an ongoing basis.
And Governor Snyder's about in that same ballpark, too.
1.2, or I'm sure he could be talked up to 1.6. That wouldn't be much of an argument for him. And you're right, but my answer would be, let's wait and see what the state is going to do before we start taxing our citizens here locally. I mean, as I read the Constitution, as I read Public Act 51, it says that the counties are, and the state is responsible for the roads. And I think we ought to give them the opportunity to live up to the law.
At the state level, if you were a state representative, would you consider an increase in the gas tax, an increase in vehicle fees to pay for road maintenance?
I think there's always a balance that you have to have. And I would look at that as being a possibility. Increasing taxes is not my very most favorite answer to any question, but you have to take a look at the good and the bad in each proposition that comes forth, and due diligence is required. You do your homework and you listen to the people and see what they want to do. And, you know, that all helps in the formation of your answer.
Jennifer?
I kind of want to switch over to a different topic. A couple months ago, as I'm sure you may know, Kellogg made an announcement to move some jobs to the Grand Rapids area. And it caused quite an uproar from the community. Elected officials kind of chimed in. There was a lot of criticism kind of from Mark Schauer against Governor Snyder about going, this is your hometown. This is something you should fight for, to keep these jobs in your hometown. On the other side of the coin, they're saying the jobs are staying in Michigan. I mean, if you were in Lansing at that time, what would you have done?
Boy, that's a hypothetical question. It's hard to say. You know, I am looking forward to working with the Kellogg Company. I'm looking forward to working with all of our business leaders trying to keep jobs in Calhoun County. That's going to be one of my priorities. The reason that I want to go to Lansing is to make sure that we get well represented. And you don't do that by staying in a shell. You don't do that by just staying in your office. You need to interact with the business community. You need to interact with the schools, with the citizens in your community. I would have been happy to sit down and talk with them and see what we need to do in order to make Kellogg successful, because I think that's what they're out for. But to see if we can't help Calhoun County in the same process.
All right, I'm going to ask you a question dealing with medicine.
Oh, no, this is terrible.
Do you believe that the state did the right thing by expanding Medicaid?
The Medicaid expansion, if you were to ask me about our health care in general, I would tell you that I feel that our health care system is failing way too many people, that our health care is too expensive, that our health care system, in my mind, is somewhat broken. And in my mind, adding another 500,000 people to a program may not be the absolute best answer. In many ways, I think that we need to fix our healthcare system. And once we have it fixed, then we need to take care of the population. You know, being an old military officer, you leave no soldier behind. You leave no one behind. And I would love to see everyone taken care of in a system. But I think that we need to get that system right first before we do that.
John Bizon, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you so much for having me out, Gordon.
John Bizon is a physician. He's a former president of the Michigan State Medical Society. He is running for the Republican nomination in Michigan's 62nd State House District. And we also want to thank Jennifer Bowman of the Battle Creek Inquirer.
Thanks for having me.
Other candidates running in contested primary elections for State House, Senate, and Congress have been invited for interviews on West Southwest. You'll be hearing those in the weeks ahead. Longer versions of interviews and more information can always be found at WMUK.org. And West Southwest is now on twice a week. Join us Monday and Thursday mornings at 9:20. This is West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.